You're listening to Alan Brazil Upfront, exclusively on Audio Boom. Welcome, welcome. It's Upfront with Alan Brazil, a husky Alan Brazil. sponsored by Bet in Brazil. Go to betinbrazil.com for all the latest odds and offers. And of course, today, once again, Ray Parler joins me.
I do now.
Yeah, good. Ray, let's kick off, shall we? It wasn't as easy as it sounds. Arsenal 5, Lincoln 0. 0-0 for a long part of the game.
Well, I was at the game, Al, and credit to Lincoln fans. They've really come there in force. 9,000 people had a great day out.
You've been to Lincoln?
I have indeed, yeah. Sleesford.
They've got the opening.
That way, isn't it? Sleesford
yeah,
way.
They've got the opening of an envelope. There's not a lot of happens up there.
Anyway, they certainly had a good day out at the Emirates and went round a few boxes and said hello to a few people. And I thought the first 45 minutes, it was very good. They really kept in the game. Cech made a really good save as well before Walcott got the opening goal. Then second half, look, they got a little bit tired. And, you know, it's been a long, hard season for them guys as well. I mean, they're sitting top of the league in the National League, so they're going really well. Looks like they'll be in League Two next year, which would be great. And what an achievement for a non-league side to get to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Well, did they get a couple of million out of that run?
Must have done, yeah. I mean, Sutton, obviously, Arsenal had both non-league sides. Sutton in the last round as well. They had it at their home ground, but I'm sure them Lincoln players might not ever get an opportunity to play at the Emirates. So they'll always remember that. And I'm sure they got a few shirts from the players after.
Yeah.
And it's been a great run for them and well deserved.
So in the end, easy. And easy for Spurs as well. Again, I've got to applaud Millwall to get that far. You know what I mean? And they performed all right. Tottenham were very good. Well, I was very impressed with Spurs.
They're on a decent run, Millwall. You're not conceding many goals, but certainly they come off a Spurs side that you're thinking, well, Harry Kane's going off. That'll help him out a little bit. But, you know, Son went up front and he was brilliant. You know, scored a hat-trick and in total control, really, which you expected. I think Millwall went there, look, they give it their all. And you got to hold your hands up sometimes. You're not good enough. And they've got more bigger things to look forward to going forward. If they can get in them playoffs, Millwall, they'll have an opportunity to go up next season.
From a Tottenham point of view, some great goals. Song, the one over his shoulder, the volley, was a great pass and great finish. But a huge, huge scratching heads now is Harry Kane out for the rest of the season, Ray.
Well, the big decision we've got to make now, if he is out for quite a few games, do they play Janssen? You know, or do they keep with Son? I think they've got to keep with Son at the moment up front because, you know, you're coming off a hat-trick. He'd done well when he was injured before. But Janssen scored his first goal from open play, so he'll be delighted with that. And you was telling me, no celebration. That's a bit strange.
I think he knows it's not working. I wouldn't be surprised if he's already been privately told you can leave at the end of the year if you want. It's not worked.
But
it's certainly not worked.
Relief to score your first goal, no? And you celebrate.
relief, but don't forget, when Harry came off, you know, I'd have thought they'd put him on, wouldn't you?
Well, Eriksen.
Striker for striker.
Well, Eriksen, you know, sort of play up front. And Eriksen, you know, he's been playing every week, isn't he? So I think Pochettino went with who he thinks that's going to do the job. But again, 6-0 winners. And I felt sorry for the keeper at the end. He threw one in when it was five. A few punters out there probably would have had 5-0 in White Hart Lane, would have been absolutely gutted. And I should imagine not many people had 6-0.
Does that mean you did?
No, I didn't. I had four. What did you have, Al?
Four. What about, 2-0, Middlesbrough 0, City 2. I got that correct. Middlesbrough can't score. And they tell me City was easy peasy.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, Guzan kept him in it, the keeper. He made some good saves in the end. Aguero hit the post and, you know, they was in total control, Al. Absolute total control. Middlesbrough, I really fear for them this year in the Premier League. I've been at a couple of their games recently. Just can't score goals. They don't create enough chances. They don't get enough bodies in the box either. So I think Karanka's got to really look at maybe changing the system, maybe changing the personnel, going two up front maybe. He's got to try something different because, you know, at the moment they're losing points and Hull City winning at the weekend as well. It puts them more under pressure. I think they've got to play Swansea coming up. So
talking about that game, that was a great result. Back to the league now, the Premier League, Hull City 2, Swansea 1. That gives them a lifeline.
Yeah, it does. And look, we have a go at Marco Silva when he first got appointed saying, oh, who's this guy? We don't know who he's going to be. But
he's had
that bit of a blip here and there, but he's certainly got the players really believing in themselves and another big 3 points against someone who's going to be probably in a relegation battle as well. And it just gives him a sniff now. You know, 3 points behind the likes of Swansea and Leicester City, and obviously only a point behind Palace. So that's a massive result of the weekend, especially when people like Palace are not playing, and it's an opportunity for them to catch up. And that puts a pressure back onto them guys when they play next week.
West Brom have been going really well, but a surprise defeat to Palace. At the
they've got
West
their 40
Brom,
points held.
And then they played Everton. Now, Everton are in top form. Have a look at the table now, Rain. Tell me where Everton are.
Well, they're looking at it at 7th place, 2 points behind Manchester United, 3 points behind Arsenal. I know they've played a couple of more games than them guys, but they're going so well. And Ross Barkley, good to see him back on form. He was involved in a lot of the goals at the weekend. Lukaku just signed a new contract. Got good youngsters coming through. Davis, we know about, and Lookman and Holgate and people like that. So I think Ronald Koeman is be delighted with how the team's going at the moment. 10 games to go. So they'd be looking to really keep pushing on and hoping that teams above them might make a mistake. Mm. But I think there's a real buzz around Everton at the moment. If they can get that new stadium, a bit of investment, you've got a new owner now.
Will they keep Ronald Koeman though?
Well, I'm hoping they do, because I think he's a sort of guy that has gone in there and he likes what he's seen. He's got good young players with a bit of experience. And he might want to build a club. There's an opportunity now. If they can keep them and invest well in the summer, then who knows? You know, they could be really pushing for that top four next season.
Right, definitely. It's difficult. Do you think Sunderland are definitely doomed?
I don't like to say anybody's doomed, but I think Sunderland and Middlesbrough are really struggling at the moment. I just can't see goals. I mean, Middlesbrough, one thing going for them is the goal difference, minus 11, where teams above them have got a lot worse goal difference, 28 Hull City, 25 Swansea even. Palace on minus 11 as well. Sunderland minus 26. So, you know, I think it's going to be difficult for Sunderland. We know David Moyes is doing his best, but with the squad he's got, no investment during the transfer window, I think it's going to be difficult for them guys.
Now, looking ahead, Ray, Champions League, a couple of beauties. Tuesday, first of all, Leicester 1, Seville 2 after the first leg. Mm. I wonder that Vardy goal. People say that could tip the scales, but I still think Seville and a danger to score at Leicester.
Yeah, I think they've had two draws out in the league. So I think they drew the weekend. So look, Leicester are definitely going into the match with a better frame of mind than what they have done in recent weeks. I know the last two results have been superb against Liverpool and Hull. But certainly they've done really well.
Craig Shakespeare in for the lap to the end of the season?
Yeah, it looks like Craig Shakespeare's going to get the job.
Good
decision. Which he'd be delighted with that, because it's an opportunity for him. He knows the players, Al. What's the point of changing, bringing someone brand new in who doesn't know the players, getting his ideas across? They know exactly what they're going to do day to day under Craig Shakespeare. And I think they've got a real good opportunity against Seville. Well, look, they're a dangerous side, we know, going forward. Jovetic and people like that are being there. Nasri, some of the players we know very well.
Yeah.
Enzonzi as well in midfield. But Leicester, if they can play like they did against Liverpool, they've got half a chance on the break. Bit of pace, Mahrez, Vardy, win that ball back in that midfield area, they'll have a chance.
I remember saying I thought all three would go out because I don't think we can defend in the Premier. Arsenal are out, City may go out, Leicester may go out. Monaco 3, City 5, it's Wednesday. Now, did Pep Guardiola not say we have to score? Because, Mick, you can bet your boots Monaco will score.
Well, after that, watching that first leg, I mean, Man City will score. There was form there in as well. I can't see him not scoring against that Monaco defence as well. I know there's missing a couple of players at the back, but again, I can't see it's been a little bit different than that game. I think there's going to be goals. I think the Man City don't know really how to defend at times. Monaco, great going forward, but they can't defend. So maybe we're in for another goal freestyle in Monaco on Wednesday. But
we have a beat? We have a bet?
I think Man City will win this. I think they get through.
You?
Yeah, I do. I think Monaco are dangerous. They're dangerous. So look, Monaco know that they've got three away goals, which could be important, but certainly, this would be a real test for Man City going away, but they will create lots of chances, Man City.
So up front with Alan Brazil is sponsored by betonbrazil.com. This is a new betting site for all sports punters, great odds, markets and offers. Listeners to this podcast can now get up to £60 deposit match when you use the promo code ALAN60, which is A-L-A-N-60. Just visit betinbrazil.com, enter your promo code ALAN60 on your first deposit, and we will match your deposit up to £60. Also look out for our daily happy hour offers between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. Sign up now. Go on at betonbrazil.com. That's betonbrazil.com. Over 18s only. Offers to new customers only. Terms apply. Betting should be fun, so please, whoa, gamble responsibly. Right, what about Liverpool in the Premier League, Ray? Mm. That was not, well,
it wasn't a great performance.
It wasn't great. It was scrappy-ish. But doesn't matter. At the table.
Doesn't matter. I mean, this is a sort of time in the season you've got to get results. You know, they want to try and stay in that top four. They've got that little cushion now. I know they've got games in hand, Arsenal, Manchester United, but 5 points gap now. So a big win yesterday for against Hull.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sort of game that against wasn't
Burnley.
Great. They got that Burnley got the early goal, 7th, 8th minute, and then they grew into the game a little bit, Liverpool. But a very important win. And as Jurgen Klopp says, it wasn't the greatest of games, but I think the Liverpool fans will be delighted because I don't think they've seen a lot of that, you know, grinding out results sometimes. And they're playing brilliant against the big sides, but they've struggled against the smaller sides. So a brilliant 3 points for Liverpool.
Now, today I head down to Cheltenham for the Cheltenham Festival. You're coming down Wednesday night, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm going to come Wednesday. So I'm working there.
So Mickey Quinn Tuesday, Wednesday, Ray Parlour Thursday, Friday. Fantastic few days.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just trying to think, Al, where you can give the punters a bit of advice because you're a veteran, aren't you? What time do you have a drink and how much money you lose and how do you save your money and how do you get the winners? How you get who you go with,
Ray,
your tips?
We're all different. You know?
Well, I'm
those
sure
people, those people who wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock and they're used to having a drink at 12:30, fine, lovely. Mm. Well, I get up at 3:30 and I'm used to having a bevy.
Well, your lunchtime is about 8 o'clock, isn't it?
11 o'clock.
So you'll be popping open a few, but you, again, it's a great meeting. I've been lucky to go for the last few years. And look, even if you've done like gambling, Al, it's a great meeting just to go for the atmosphere.
Well, the shopping village and the Guinness village is just brilliant.
Well, it's packed, Al. Obviously, you're a regular in there. I mean, we got there, remember last year when we got there about quarter past 10? We got there about 10:15 in a Guinness tent. And the guy went, "You're late, Alan." And I was like, "What?" He got in there 10:10 the day before, didn't you? So you're well known for that, Guinness tent. And I'm sure we'll see a few people. We saw Eddie Jordan in there last year, didn't we?
Yeah, but what's nice is you finish the show, you're hyper because day one at Cheltenham. Your adrenaline is flying through the veins. And you go down there, you know it's going to be packed, so you try and get a few in before it gets too busy. And then you go and have a look around the shops again.
And I remember getting a picture of you at the bar and there was about 30 pints of Guinness behind you, which you didn't know about. And he was getting it ready for the punters to come in and getting it ready to Guinness, and there was a picture. Alan's just warming up for the Cheltenham Festival. But what do you think, Al? Have you got a few winners in mind?
First day's great on the Tuesday.
That's the best racing,
Champion
isn't
Hurdle,
it?
Big race. I'm going to take a chance with David Pipe's Moon Racer. He won the bumper 2 years ago, and he beat the likes of Yarmouth and Co. in that race. So he's won at Cheltenham last year. He's been very, very sparsely ridden, never mind race this year. So he's clearly had problems, Ray. But if they put him in the Champion's Hurdle, if he goes in for the Champion, he will. I tell you what, if he's there with three out, he's got some engine. So he'll make them all think about it.
Well, Yamworth's a favourite.
He beat him in the bumper.
And you had a tip on a second one as well, early, 33-1 shot. Boudier or something?
Oh, I did. Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, 33-1. You didn't take the price.
No,
and
the
now,
thing's a bit special.
And 4-1. It's
not, is it?
But I'm going to go Brain Power. I think Brain Power is a horse that is improving. I think he'll have a good chance. Third favourite. I think yours is about 10-1, isn't it?
Yeah.
Moon Racer.
Each way, you know, don't go mad in the first day.
But the first race,
go mad on the Friday and try and get it all back.
Can we get a win in the first race? Now, imagine getting there. We've had a little bit of a tip here, haven't we? Mellon is being backed in heavily, 11-4 at the moment. So that novice hurdle, 1:30, first race, the roar.
Tips go up.
What's the roar like? Unbelievable.
It's brilliant. So, it is a special place.
Yeah. The Arkle Chase on that first day looks like a 2-7 shot. Altior.
I think
that's a machine. That's
proper
a certainty.
Horse, proper horse.
But you look at Mellon. I'm going to go on Mellon the first race to get me off to a flying start, Al. And if I can get that one in, then who knows? You know, it could be a good festival. But
I do change my mind a lot when I get there and I talk to people, talk to trainers. I suddenly think I'll have a saver bet. You know, I've had a saver on Moonracer, haven't I? Mm. I might suddenly, if someone says Brain Power's a certainty, he knows what he's talking about, I'll go big on Brain Power. Well, I've still got my each way.
I've had one of these races, I had seven tips on one race. All different people saying, I fancy that one, jockeys fancy that one. And the best story I can tell you was when I was at Royal Ascot one day, and all the horses are coming around the parade ring. They're looking fantastic, these horses. And as they're coming out onto the track, Frankie Zissori, there he was. Razor, how you doing, son? I said, all right, Frankie. He went, don't back my one, back Gosden's in this race. And a poor old boy next to me, he said, I've just backed his one in this one. I've had £10 on it. And off he went, he scuttled away. Went to put a bet on, obviously, Gosden's.
Why did you give him his tenner back?
Well, I've quickly run off to put my bet on as well. And do you know what? Gosden's lost by short head that day. And Frankie's was nowhere. So, look, I think the jockeys know when they're on something special. And you know what it's like. How to talk around the dressing room area before they race. You know, mine's going well. Mine's got a great chance and this, that, whatever.
Tell me this, tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's on the day, isn't it?
Well, so we're doing Melon in the first.
Well, on the Wednesday is the bumper.
Well, the bumper's the last race. That's where they don't jump a fence. These are young horses who are going to jump hurdles and fences. I backed a friend of mine's horse. It's called Western Rider.
It's around a 7-1
mark. As on Ryder Cup. Western Rider. The favourite is Mullins.
Yeah.
I've been told it's not working well. Mm. So I've smashed into the second favourite, but I've also took a big saver on a horse called Someday from Jessica Harrington in Ireland.
Well, I'm going
that's the best Irish
horse. I'm going Someday as well. You're going to go Western Rider. I think I'm going to stick to Someday. They're both around a 7-1 mark now, so decent
and
prices.
That's down from 20s.
And what does that pay? First three or four? Is it first three usually? The bumper?
Don't know.
Yeah. So a lot of people will be on each way there. Hopefully they can get something in. That same day, cross country. Do you like that race?
I'm going to back him. Edna Bolger is the king of the cross country. I think I'll back the second favourite.
Cause of causes.
Yeah, I think so.
That's around a 7-2
mark.
Second
favourite. I think, is it Cantlow is the favourite?
Yeah, Cantlow's a favourite.
Both the trains them both. But I don't know, I like cause of causes.
Mm. No, it's a good race as well, isn't it? It's anything can happen in that sort of race. But hopefully by that time out, we've had a few winners by Wednesday afternoon or the Wednesday last race. And then you go into Thursday.
Thursday.
That's when I'm on air, so we would be trying to get a few winners there, definitely.
There's a lot. Is the Ryanair? When's the Ryanair?
Ryanair Chase, Duvan.
I'm going to take Duvan on with Empire of Dirt.
Right.
He's owned by Michael O'Leary. I don't think Michael O'Leary is the boss of Ryanair. I don't think he's won the Ryanair Chase. I think this could change his life.
Well, your one's about 7-2 shot. Duvan, I'm going to go with a favourite, I think. Look, it all depends on certain meetings. There's a lot of favourites go in. I'm sure the bookies would be hoping it doesn't go like that. And there's another hot favourite that day, on the Stayers Hurdle. You know what I mean, Harry? And that's about 11-8 shot.
A lot of people feel he's the banker of the meeting.
So I might be doubling them two up. Duvan and You Know What I Mean, Harry. And hopefully Thursday, when I'm at the track, can watch it live, that I'll get in with a little bit of luck out, because Friday could be interesting then. The show Friday, which we do, could be a no-show for me.
I don't say that.
And a no-show for you as well.
My voice note might not work. But of course, Friday's Paddy's Day, so I will be having a few Guinnesses.
And whose birthday is it?
My wife's birthday.
Oh,
and I think I'm going to have a go with an Irish horse in the Gold Cup. I'm going to back Jack Adam.
Yeah.
Or Jack Adam, depends how you want to pronounce it. Jack Adam.
Is this the tightest Gold Cup you've seen for a while?
Yeah, very open. Q card. He's a living, isn't he? But the ground might be in his favour. It might be not rock hard, but it'll be good ground.
Well, you've got Native River.
It won't be worse than good. You know, it won't be worse than good. And that gives Q Card a big chance.
Well, Native River's old Colin Cesaro, who lost Thistle Crack, which he'd be disappointed. But I think they're betting on this one, Elf. Joint favourites. I don't think they can pick one. So
I don't know much about Native River. He won the Hennessy, didn't he?
He's a tough horse. He really, you know, he never knows when he's beaten, sort of horse. So I might have a little few quid on him, Native River. And then obviously I've got another favourite I'm going to back probably in the Fox Hunters Chase on the Fringe, which I've backed before. I think last year.
Fox Hunter, cavalry charge.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hit or miss race, but 6-4, I think that might be good enough to get over the line. But again, it's all about social. And by Friday afternoon now, you'll either be absolutely loaded to take your wife out and give her a beautiful present, or you'll be absolutely skint and having an early night.
I won't be skint. I won't be skint. No, I won't be skint. I've got a big lunch on Friday.
Have you?
I think Harry's in there, Harry Redknapp, Ray Winston.
Oh, cool.
So that is going to be, it's going to be so much talking, giggling, telling stories.
Is your wife going to be at that lunch?
She will be, but I'll get my daughter in as well so she's got somebody to talk to.
What? Don't you like talking to your wife?
Not when I'm racing, no.
They do, yeah.
You gotta concentrate.
That was one question the other day, wasn't it? Who would you rather take, your wife or your mate?
She can go shopping. Oh,
it'd always be your mate, wouldn't it?
The village is brilliant for a shop. There you go, Joe. That's 50. Go on, beat it.
Yeah.
And then I can talk about a future part with Ray, you know?
That'd be, I think, your certainty for the movies, though. You've got that gruffly voice at the moment. I think you could definitely get a part in it.
Box as well. The only snag is the moose is there.
Oh,
the time when the Moose's Cheltenham preview was a disaster.
Don't sit next to him, you won't have no starter. He'd be hoovering everything up. He'd be like, if it's free, he'll eat it.
So you reckon you're going to do the show Friday, come home
and
watch
it? You're talking about movies. How did that potato man go? You're supposed to be the voice of a potato. What was the film was that, Al?
It was a bit cutlery.
Oh, right.
It was cutlery who come to life. It's a Disney.
And what was you? With potato?
I was going to be potato, yeah. I'm like, what? What do you mean, potato?
I can't believe that. But yeah, I was going to probably go home after the racing now, so I'll get back to. I've got a busy day Friday, so but I'll be watching.
Well, you're not driving home.
I'll be watching the racing. Don't worry, I'll make sure I'm home for the racing. I can't handle the moose for all day. If I'm sitting with you, no chance. He'd be driving everyone crackers. And we heard his sporting lunch what he hosted went down very well.
Disaster when he got slagged
hammered,
off. Yeah.
Hammered in the certain papers. To do with racing, so I think his reporting days for ITV, I don't think it's going to happen for the Moose, I'm afraid.
So Cheltenham, I think the weather's set fair. There might be a drizzle, but no more than a drizzle. So it's going to be record crowds, it's going to be fantastic.
And how many pints of Guinness drunk over that week?
Well, normally you have 12 before the first race. What do you mean?
Not for you, Al, for the whole meeting.
But the Guinness is different, they've been back in Ireland. Two gulps is gone.
I know, it's dangerous.
I keep looking at the bottom of the paint pot. Is there a hole in there?
Oh, it's dangerous.
It's so nice.
I think Friday for me will be a write-off.
Oh, well, I'll see Quinny off. I'll get Quinny on it.
We got a lot of things on that on Thursday. I've got a lot of meetings. I've got a lot of people I've got to meet. You know, it's like you have to have a pint with everyone. Before you know it, before the first race, I'll be struggling before the first race. And that might make me win money. Who knows?
Well, I hope so, Ray. I hope so.
I'll be guessing then.
So I'm going to head home. I'm going to head down there now. Beautiful part of the world, Broadway. What a place. Stunning. Right on the edge of Worcestershire and Gloucestershire. Broadway is my favourite English village. It is just wonderful. Cromwell, they all camped there, didn't they? They had a massive camp there in the Civil War. So steeped in history, you've got ancient Winchcombe. You drive into Winchcombe, I tell you what, you can have scary movies there. It is dark and satanic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, one of King Henry VIII's wife stayed there. Who was it? Was it? No, it wasn't.
It wasn't the one who got beheaded, was it?
No, was it James? Jane
Seymour?
Could have been. Could have been. So, steeped in history. Love it. It's perfect, really.
Yeah, you're going to have a great week anyway. Whatever happens, Al, if you win or lose, we're going to have a great week. And just to be a random crowd, and it's fantastic. So, good luck, Al, anyway.
If we're still alive, we'll see you next week. Brought to you by Audio Boom.
BetOnBrazil.com is for over 18s only. Betting should be fun, so please bet responsibly. For more on this, visit gambleaware.co.uk.